Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to jump on the phones, 404-726-0929. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. I want to remind you, each Wednesday night, join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles, guys. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talking about all the things, and one of the major things, obviously, for us here in our wonderful city is the hiring of Kevin Stefanski. Like it or you don't like it? That's what we're asking you. Rick in Ellenwood, you get us rolling here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what's going on, Rick?
What's up, fellas?
What's happening?
Want to talk about the Hawk situation.
Okay.
You can have 100 coaches coach the Hawks. Until you change the philosophy of the Hawks, nothing's going to change. What I mean by the philosophy is the let's shoot threes until we're hot has got to go.
Right.
We've been through four coaches, and that's been the philosophy. Okongwu cannot shoot threes, and we're pulling him away from the rebounding. So let's do this. Let's make him a back, like a Paul Millsap, basically.
Okay.
Right.
Another player.
Right.
Another player.
Yes, Rick.
Go on, Rick.
Did we lose him?
Stop shooting threes, Gabe.
There you go. There you go. I'm sorry, Rick.
Your phone dropped out, but the thought's still the same. Stop these threes.
Okay. Go ahead. And Rick, I have a question for you, too, when you get done, but go ahead. Did you drop off again? Okay,
you got to check your provider, brother. We're dropping out.
Yeah,
man.
No. Look, is
I like your thoughts. We I just couldn't finish it.
Here's what I would ask you, though. Coaches change philosophy. Nate McMillan wanted us to be a tougher-minded defensive team. Let me remind you, for those who don't know your NBA, he played on one of the best defensive teams in Seattle's history,
yes,
which took them to the NBA Finals.
Yes,
he played alongside a guy named the Glove. There's never been a cooler nickname for a defensive player ever. So that didn't change. Even though the thought process was there, Lloyd Pierce came in here, and I know LP very well, wanted to change the way Trey thought about shooting threes and pulling up for half-court threes. Didn't change. Now you get Quinn
State
Snyder in
source.
Here. I'm trying. And then Quinn Snyder comes in here, Mike, and everybody says, he's great, he's great, he's great, he's great, this is great. And Quinn Snyder comes fresh off the beach in Costa Rica and goes, what do we have here? Oh, you guys just go ahead. And nothing's changed.
Yeah, man. No, I mean – the philosophy, we talked to Sam Mitchell a few weeks ago, and I said, Sam, I go, defense is effort. Sam goes, no, some guys just suck at defense. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. You know, it's a mindset. It's an attitude that nobody seems to have. You know, we picked up DeAndre Hunter. He was considered a really good defender. I would just say elite, but a good defender coming out of UVA. You know, unfortunately, and by the way, he's complaining he wants out of Cleveland now, so that's going nowhere for them. But this is, you know, a team that just, we don't have those dogs. I mean, we don't have those alphas, you know, guys, tough guys like Solo Hill on that 2021 team, Lou off the bench, some other pieces, you know. Even Gallinari, you know what's funny? Gallinari, Carl, even Gallo would, you know, good Gallo would even find a way to play a little defense, you know, yeah, at times.
Well, just knowing your role, man. Let's talk to Mike and McDonough. Mike, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
How you doing today? How you doing today, gentlemen?
Good, brother.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to step away from the Hawks because I don't really care that much about them. But
give it to us.
The Stefanski hire for the Falcons.
Yep.
Is it's a good hire to me because the guy won Coach of the Year 2 years, and he was in Cleveland where they. I mean, that's a terrible franchise, and just give this guy a chance. And this Sanders kid, Chidur, he's not an NFL quarterback. He's a Taysom Hill at best.
Oh,
and I just like to hear what you think about it.
I still don't know. Just on the last thing first, I don't know what Shador is yet because the sample size is so small. It's basically what we had with Penix Jr. a year ago, right, Carl? You know, so. But as far as Stefanski, I mean, he does have a good rep, and he is considered a good coach, but a team that has just been classically mismanaged. I mean, his trajectory, if they did not bring Deshaun Watson, it might have been different. But it just jammed them up. They lost draft picks. Yeah. That's what. Why do you think Houston is – now, they got to straighten out their quarterback, but Houston is going to the playoffs now, Carl, because they took all that equity from Cleveland.
That's right.
Via the draft and built a great team.
It's a great point. Look, when you talk about Taysom Hill, you're talking about a utility knife. Shador's not that. Play quarterback. He's played quarterback all his life. He wants to be a quarterback in the NFL. Will he be a good quarterback in the NFL? We do not know yet. But when you talk about this, it's really perception. Nobody really knows. Only Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, and the folks in that building. But the perception is that Stefanski somehow held him back. He was a fifth-round pick, guys. Earn your keep. There were four guys. When he got there, Flacco was in front of him. I mean, like, there were guys in front of him. And then by the end of the season, he got a chance to start because they're a bad football team. And I said to Mike, they got to figure out what they've got. So we'll see where that goes. We're rooting for Shador. I liked him in college. The whole storyline, blah, blah, blah. But to be honest with you guys, it has nothing to do with what we're doing here in Atlanta.
Right. That's why I mean.
It has nothing to do with what we're doing
here. I played this earlier because there's a lot of so many things on social media, misinformation. Guys bringing race into this and somehow there was an agenda there. No, you can listen to Shador in his own words saying that, yeah, coach was tough on me. He goes, but I think he made me better. And he talked about they had good conversations at the end. I mean, look, the coach probably didn't want him. I'm not sure the coach wanted Dylan Gabriel. You know what I mean? I'm not sure why they did either one of those moves. Either way. You can hear it from Shador's own mouth. I don't care about what's going on in Cleveland. I care about how he fixes Michael Penix Jr.
That's all I care about. And if you're also perceiving and projecting, as many of you do, that he's not going to get the best out of Michael Penix because of the way he treated Shador, stop. That's ridiculous. Kevin Stefanski's here to do a job, and he wants to do it at a high level, guys. You know what he wants to do? Redeem himself.
Right.
The way you do that is win, and the way you do that is you lift your quarterback up. And look, he's been around the NFL too long to come in here and try to sabotage his own self by, oh, well, he treated Shador a certain way. He's going to treat our guy that way. It's just that's a dumb train of thought.
Well, and again, you and I said this earlier. The one thing that, I mean – being under 500 for your career is one thing. People don't. If you don't take the time to peel the layer of the onion and look at it, you know it's a messed up franchise. It just is. But it is still hard to wrap your head around a team that just won 8 games hiring a coach who's won 8 games the last 2 seasons.
No, it looked.
I mean, regardless of how bad totally Cleveland is, that's still really hard to sell to a lot of our fan base.
Totally agree. And I would ask the question in regards to that: what other winner outside of Harbaugh were you bringing in? Feel really good because Robert Saleh as a head coach, losing record.
Right.
Right. He just got the Titans job.
Flores, as I said to you, and look, Arthur will never cop to this. I just don't. And we're not going to be the only ones. I think a number of teams are going to stay away from Flores over the lawsuit.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, look, all
I
these
hope not.
All these
I think
jobs.
He's a great coach. I think he's an old school guy. I think he's a butt kicker. I don't think he takes, you know, he's kind of like what Vrabel is. You know, he's that kind of dude.
Yeah.
But as far as his record, I want to make sure I get it right. Yeah.
All these jobs. I'm talking about as head coach of the of the Jets, losing record. But bottom line is all these jobs, though, I think it's interesting. We're going to see where all these other teams go. Hey, Mike and McDonough, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Let's go to Robert, who also is in McDonough. Robert, thanks for your patience, man. What's on your mind? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I have one general statement and one question. I'll make them both quick. Statement is I think that we should have gave Raheem maybe one more year, but with a tenured season offensive coordinator maybe since offense was pretty much our Achilles heel. The whole season, like the common denominator on why we lost so many games, I guess. And my question to you guys is, because you guys are a hell of a lot closer to this than I am, are we going to be able to retain Tyler Allgeier? Because I'm going to hate to see that guy go.
I know, man, but I think he's
– And listen to you guys, and thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate you, brother. I mean, I just felt Raheem was not detail-oriented enough with the special teams, and he hired the wrong guys. He hired a guy he had to fire after 1 year in Lake, and then Zach, and we already talked about, Zach and him and his young quarterback didn't mesh. But as far as I'd love to keep Tyler Allgeier, I just think if I'm Allgeier, I get a chance to go in the open market and make a lot more money. You know, and again, some guys say you go out of bounds when you say he's going to be Michael Turner. No, but the circumstances where Michael Turner had to sit behind a lady in Tomlinson, he gets only a few shots a game to make his shot because of Bijan. I think in the right system, whether he's paired with another back, he's going to make a lot more money somewhere else.
Yeah, that question is, I think, on everybody's mind. We'd love to. But you know what? It's a luxury item, guys, at this point. When you talk about retaining Tyler for the amount of money that he probably is going to receive. Statement about Rock. The answer is no. And I think, Mike, at the end of the day, there were too many people in the decision-making process. Arthur should move on, and that advice was given to him, and he made the decision. And he said it in his presser. This wasn't like Arthur woke up one day and went, I'm done with this guy. This was an ongoing evaluation through the season.
And
so
Sportology was there, too.
Yes.
Looking under the microscope.
Yes. And remember, I think it was one of the things he said he learned in that you know, portfolio they gave him was, you know, the there wasn't enough leadership in the building. That's not Arthur Blank saying that. That was these people he brought from the outside to look at his organization and said, yeah, we talked to like 30 different people, and this is part of the problem. You cannot have that.
Right. I had a guy last night. We're going to argue. I'm trying to watch the national championship game. Guy goes, look at this. The Pro Football Players Association, the players didn't like him. They give him bad marks. I go, I don't care. It's a crappy team. The team won 8 games. Like, I'm supposed to. Players who won 8 games in 2 years are going to tell me, oh, no, it was the coach? I mean, come on. And conversely, Raheem apparently got high marks. Great. I'm glad the players love Raheem. How did you not tackle, block, or catch for him? Okay? I don't care. Players, coach, great. Not? Doesn't matter. Just freaking win. And maybe it's time to have some accountability and stop being so nice. Okay? That's the one thing about Flores, who, by the way, I looked it up, Carl, 1 game under .500 for his career, 24-25. Brian Flores is that kind of, I think he's that same kind of Mike Tomlin dude. I wouldn't have mind. I wish we had had that interview with him just to see where that would have gone.
Yeah, I'd said talk to everybody. They talked to enough people. They were intent on hiring Stefanski, and I'm fine with it. Many of you are not. DB in the ATL. What's going on, DB? Welcome in. Hey, man.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. For me, I mean, I had no problem with the hire. He's proven he know the X's and O's. But the bottom line for Matt and Steve is going to be it's the quarterback position. It's like what they going to do with the quarterback position. Because at the end of the day, we know Michael Penix is an injury-prone quarterback. We know the time he's going to have to miss in training camp. For all the negatives that we know about his game, the pocket presence, the feet in the pocket, the accuracy, for him to work all these kinks out of his game, and still just trying to get back from rehab, is going to be hard. So to tie all the success of the team to Michael Penix is going to be the most major decision that they're going to have to look at, because if it doesn't work out with Michael Penix, it's going to get rough, man. Like, they have to make it work, or they have to have a succession plan for if it doesn't work. So, I mean, I have no problems with the hire, but it's what decisions are going to be made as far as the quarterback position. And that's just it for me, because it's the most important position on the field. Yeah. So you gotta make the right decisions when it comes to that.
All right. DB, man, appreciate you listening. You couldn't be more right about everything you're saying. Look, if I ran the Falcons, and I don't, but if I did, I'm back in the quarterback draft next year.
Right.
It's just that simple. And the reason is just I want you to separate the two, but think about the mindset. If you're going to say, well, you have a quarterback, Dukes, why would you do that? The same reason they drafted Penix when they had Cousins. And the idea is the uncertainty of where this is going. Now, you did that with the hopes of trying to create a franchise, right. You know, a quarterback, having him in the building already and not have to go find him. But I think, Mike, just to back up, your position of, hey, if this works, great. But if it doesn't, next year, because we don't have a first rounder this year, next year, with the way this team is built and defensively with the young pieces, you could do that if you really wanted to. And I hope we don't have to. But, DB, you got to be thinking that way if you're in this front office. If you're Matt and whoever the GM's going to be, and certainly Kevin Stefanski. If I'm Stefanski, I'd have a real conversation and say, look, I think we can help the kid. But we also need to be very careful about how we go about
right.
this.
Right. Now, look, but he's got to be better on third downs. He's got to be better on his, you know, on his accuracy, his completion percentage. Because I'm sorry, I joked around with you about Okwungu's workshop year three. This is not the workshop year for Penix Jr.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, I mean, hopefully he's going to take some instruction from Stefanski and his staff and get better. But it'd be 9 years without the playoffs, Carl. We're going on a decade.
It's unbelievable.
So they've got to get that. And if the stopgap move is going to be one of these journeyman quarterbacks, still don't know how that's going to play. It's a big question mark.
Ralph, we're going to get to you as well. More of your phone calls, guys. Chime in, man. I know y'all are tripping off the weekend like, what? They hired who?
What?
Are you serious? Yes, we are, and we want to hear from you. Coming up, though, the Bills come up short again, and it opens up another job in the NFL. We'll go over what we saw in the NFL playoffs coming up. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.